Great to have your company on this Monday night edition of Sports Day. Shane McGuinness in for Jared Healy and Sam McClure. Well, the French Open came to an incredible conclusion last night. Stefanos Tsitsipas and Novak Djokovic. Tsitsipas taking the first two sets. You thought, hello, changing of the guard. And then Novak did what Novak does best. Won the next three sets, wins his 19th Grand Slam title, just one behind the 20 of Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. To talk a little bit of tennis, a man who was in Paris for the French Open, back in London now, is Robbie Koning. You'd be familiar with his work. We hear it in Australia via the World Feed. Robbie, lovely to chat, and thanks for your time.
No problem, Shane. It's been a fantastic 2 weeks, a lot of different storylines. So once again, you know, that guy, Novak Djokovic, as you suggested, doing mind-boggling stuff, Shane.
I find it incredible that he is the first male player to win the Australian Open and French Open since Jim Courier back in 1992. The big question is, can he be the first player since Rod Laver to win all four in a calendar year?
Well, obviously, he can be the only one this year. There's no question that he has got the ability. I think going into Wimbledon and the US Open, he'll be the odds-on favourite. We know how well he plays on the lawns of the All England Club. I think he's won five times there, and he loves the hard courts. I think if it all goes down to the US Open, you know, given his record on a hard court, it's hard to see anybody beating him. But, you know, that's why we lace him up. That's sport. But I thought back in 2015, he would have a good shot at doing it. I thought he'd have a really good shot at doing it, given how well he was playing back then, but it wasn't to be. So, you just never know. I would love to see him do it. You know, selfishly, in our lifetime, I want to see it, Shane.
Do I dare ask, is Stefanos Tsitsipas the man to break up the top three? We've seen other contenders, Wawrinka, Cilic, just to name a couple, Medvedev. Is Tsitsipas the one to do it?
Yes, I think he is. I think he's got fantastic variety. I think this guy's going to be coming up in the next couple of years. But if you're talking about immediacy, I think him and Zverev are the two guys who have got an enormous amount of belief. You know, they've won Masters 1000s. They've beaten these guys before. And I'm talking about, you know, the top three guys. They've beaten them before. So the belief is there. And perhaps even more so with Tsitsipas. There's a steely resolve about that young man that I think Zverev had when he was bursting on the scene in 17 and 18, but he's just lost a little bit of late, and it's going to take some doing to get it back. But if you were asking for my top pick, it would be Tsitsipas to be the party spoiler.
I've always said the best match of Grand Slam tennis I've ever seen was Djokovic and Nadal in the 2012 Australian Open final, the longest Grand Slam final recorded. There's a chance that Novak and Rafa's match on Friday night in Paris may have surpassed that. Was it one of the best you've ever seen?
Yes, it was one of the best. I don't think it was the best. I think 2012 is a very good shout, given how long that one went on for. I think the quality of it was insane for the duration.
There was incredible.
Sorry, carry on, Shane.
No, I was just going to say, the way that these two are able to keep going, the athleticism. I mean, there's one thing to win a best of three sets match. It's another thing to win a best of five. And for me, that is where the likes of Federer, Djokovic and Nadal have been able to separate themselves. And I mean, you even go back to last night, Tsitsipas wins if it's the best of three sets. But Nadal, Djokovic and Federer, they take it to another level over five.
They do. And you've got to remember that match that we saw between the two was a four-set match. It didn't even go to five sets. But obviously the intensity was insane. The quality of that third set was mind-boggling. And what people don't realize is what these guys can do at the end of their range. They make it look like everything is right there, comfortable and in front of them, but it's anything but. You know, these guys are playing at the extremities of every shot and yet producing what they produce. I thought the 2017 final with Federer and Nadal was unbelievable down in Oz. That was one of my favorite ever to commentate on. You know, when Rafa had gone 3-1 up in the fifth there, we thought, okay, this guy has got Roger again. He's got him. But only for Roger to come back and win the last five games. And that, you know, that 4-3 game was epic. One of the greatest rallies we've ever seen down in Australia. You know, I can remember it in my head, 26 shots. But you're right. These guys keep pushing the envelope. And rather than try and pick out one individual match, let's just drink it all in, Shane. Let's drink it all in because it's not going to be here for many more years, man.
No, we know that. And we especially came to the fore in Melbourne this year, not having Roger Federer out here. I've got to ask you about the women's side of the draw. Barbora Krejcikova and Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, certainly neither were in people's predictions about making the final, let alone winning it. Do you think they'll continue to fire over the next year, or is the women's draw, as we've seen so much in recent years, going to continue to circle around? And who knows, maybe even Serena Williams can finally get that 24th title.
I think on a hard court, Osaka is going to be very difficult to beat. She's proved that already.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I say that, I think about the fact that she was match point down, two match points down in the round of 16 in Oz. I mean, you know, she could have been out of the tournament. In the round of 16, we wouldn't be speaking much about the fact that she'd won another major title. So, you know, I think in the women's game at the moment, there are so many good players. The depth is so incredible. There's no intimidation. People don't feel intimidated walking on the court, taking on Osaka or taking on Ash or taking on, Muguruza. There's so much belief that they have the level, and that's all you have to have, is you've got to have the level. And we've seen it, so many of the women do. So it's fascinating the way it's going to shake out. I think it's a pity Ash got injured. It's a pity that Simona got injured, because they're going to be looking back thinking, well, you know, maybe this is one that got away from us, given that the finalists were two women that we didn't expect to be there. But if we have a look at somebody like Pavlyuchenkova, what a, you know, storied junior career she had, how good she was when she was younger. It's surprising it's taken her this long, but, you know, just to put that into perspective, she is a lady who is not all consumed by tennis. And maybe that's why it hasn't happened for her. She really does enjoy a good party. She enjoys a good night out. Tennis is not the be-all and end-all of her existence. And she's happy with that, Shane. You know, sometimes we as sports pundits, we expect everybody to be completely focused like a Novak or like some of the other players that we see in sport are, that are completely committed to their sport. But she's not. And she's okay with that. And, you know, you say that maybe she wishes that after yesterday's match, she had been a little bit more committed, because she spoke about her fitness. But you got to take the good with the bad. It's one that, it's always a conundrum in my mind, that when that opportunity comes by, are you ready for it? And that yesterday was the difference between the two. Someone like Krejcikova, who was completely committed to the sport, when the opportunity presented itself, she was there to grab it. Pavlyuchenkova wasn't.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about Naomi Osaka. Obviously, it wasn't the ending to the French Open campaign. People thought it would be. A lot of controversy with her decision not to do press in Paris. French Open organisers have said, had she have continued through the tournament and not done press conferences, she would have continued to be fined. Do you expect that she will change her thinking ahead of going into Wimbledon? Because I would suspect that the All England Club will have a similar ethos to what they did at Roland Garros.
Yes, well, as you suggested, I think all four majors came together, as we saw there, and put out the statement, and they had to stand united. Gilles Moreton, the president of the FFT, was asked about that yesterday before the finals. And he spoke about the athlete's responsibility towards the press. So, you know, I'm hoping, I think Naomi released something yesterday or the day before to say, looks like, you know, things are getting better for her. Sure. I'll be surprised if she doesn't show up at Wimbledon. I just think the messaging was the part that was confusing for everybody. The fact that she didn't alert them, the French Tennis Federation, beforehand. She kind of showed up on site and said, okay, I'm not doing press and I'll take the fine. And then that's when things got a little bit muddy, right? It was like, you know, had her team done their due diligence, because they probably thought she could get away with that throughout the duration of the French Open, just pay the fine. But that wasn't the deal, right? The deal was it gets incrementally worse and they can default you. So I don't know whether her team actually knew that was the protocol. And then the story started to change. And I think that's what frustrated a lot of the other athletes on the ground. And certainly the messaging from other athletes is it's part of our sport. We don't like it. We don't like being asked tough questions in post-match interviews. But we have to do it. And I think because it's uncomfortable for Naomi, she chose not to do it. And then the whole mental health issue came in. And obviously it's a very sensitive subject, right, Shane? So, you got to have the kid gloves on when somebody starts to speak about that. Because if it is serious, then she's talked about having, depression post 2018 at the US Open. And I guess my only question was, if that was the case, who has she been speaking to? Because that never did come out. Who is your therapist that you've been working with if you have had these problems? And I never heard any conversations about that. So that would have been my first question. Now, who is your therapist? What is she working through with you? And we never heard any of that. So that was some of the talk that was going on.
Absolutely, Robbie. I couldn't concur anymore. Very generous with your time, as always. Hope to catch up again soon. Robbie Koenig on the line from London, talking tennis.